Good morning, Mabel Louise.
Good morning. And how's your Thanksgiving plans coming? Oh, boy. Have you checked off the list? And your side dishes are all prepared and in the freezer? Oh. Well, if you live in Wisconsin, you might have some venison steak for your dinner. Yes, I hear those people telling how they got a buck with 10 points or whatever points. And those, that would be good too, huh? Well, whatever food is being prepared, it's wonderful to get together as a family, isn't it? I can remember as a child getting together at my Aunt Mabel Young's home, and there would be at least 75 of us, and we'd have several turkeys, all of us enjoying our time together. And all these years, our my immediate family have gathered together and had Thanksgiving meals. So it's family time, isn't it? Well, since November is Special Thank You Month, I wanted to take this opportunity to talk about manners. Oh, my goodness. I can remember being drilled as a child in table manners and how to treat others and all of those things. Mother took so much time to train us as children. And I just wanted to plan a series in the result of hearing a teacher say, and I quote, "One thing I hope to accomplish this year with my students is to teach them manners." And at the time she made that statement to me, I said, "Whoops, Lord, please help me bring some messages on that very subject." So I want to repeat something I said on my last broadcast, which is, we lose our manners when we become lost in ourselves. In the average family today, each member is doing their own thing. They're not connecting with one another. In other words, one child is on the cell phone, another's on a video, and mom's on the telephone. Dad's probably watching TV. And the family is not making heart connections because they're so focused on themselves. So when we teach our children to be well-mannered, we're teaching them to focus on others. We're also teaching them how others feel and what others need. So let's boil it down to one little short statement, and that is, good manners is thinking of others. It's all about respect for other people and putting their needs in before ours. So if you instill manners in your child when they're very young, you will raise them to reflect what Jesus would have them to do. You see, children need to be taught manners as soon as they can understand any instructions. And of course, it depends upon the maturity of the child. At least age 3 and on through the teens, it needs to be taught. So what I've done is put together some lists to give to parents and grandparents, something to think about and perhaps put into action if you're not doing that already. So as with any parenting issue, parents and grandparents must, and I repeat that word must, model the character we desire to see practiced by our children and grandchildren. I guess we can put it in 3 words: practice what you preach. So let me give you some things I thought about for very young children. Let's say from ages maybe 3 to 5, and I repeat, it depends upon their maturity. They need to know the following. They need to be taught to say, "Please, may I have a drink?" or "Please, may I have a cookie?" And if they do receive a cookie or whatever, have them thank you and do this consistently. If they don't say it, they don't get a cookie. And then they need to be taught to be respectful toward their parents and grandparents by calling them, for instance. Oh, it really hurts me when I hear a child call their mother by the first name, ooh, instead of mother. It's so disrespectful to me. Maybe it's because I'm from the South, but oh my goodness. And then they need to be taught to set the table, put the dishes in the sink after they've eaten and when they've finished. They need to be taught table manners, taught to say yes, sir, and no, sir, or no, ma'am, or yes, ma'am, or just being thoughtful by saying those words. Then they need to be taught that no matter how loud they scream and roll in the floor, they're not getting what they want. And it won't bring results. They need to ask in a sweet, kind way whatever they're whining about or screaming. Oh, that's so awful to see children rolling in the floor and crying, or in the grocery store and screaming, wanting something that they don't need. That can be stopped by the parents saying, that's it, no more, you get nothing. And you know what? If you practice that several times, they get it, because they can learn that if they say it nicely, they can have it. And wow, do they learn. And then young children need to learn to serve others by buying maybe an extra can of food for the food pantry and letting the child take it in with you and present it to whoever is receiving it. Or let the children help prepare cookies or something special and take it to some needy family. Children really love to serve, and they need to be active in choosing different projects at home or at church, and maybe foreign missions. And then don't allow your children to call other adults by their first names unless the other adults have asked them to do so. Then pray with your children when you hear of some tragedy, or you hear the fire engine sound, or maybe an ambulance. Teach them to think of others that are hurting. And you can quickly say as the ambulance go by, let's pray for whoever is in there, that God will take care of them. And then teach your children to share toys. And that's a tough one for 2 and 3 and 4 year olds, isn't it? But they have to learn. And oh my goodness, that's a tough one to get over to the children. But it can be done, and it just takes patience, right? And then at earliest age, they need to be taught their full name, then where they live, their telephone number, and how to dial 911. I know a lot of six-year-olds, and maybe even five, as young as 5 years old, have saved their mother's life by calling 911. And that should be taught as soon as the child can understand and learn. And then what about the ages of 6 to 12? And this, they're more mature now, and they're more able to learn. So teach your children telephone etiquette, how to answer the phone, how to take telephone messages, how to make calls when they need to. And don't just assume that they know all about it, especially at age 6. And when they receive a gift or someone does something nice for them, teach them to be sure to say thank you, and even to write a note if they're older. And a child age 12 should certainly write a note. I love the notes that I get from, especially from one family in my own family, where when I send a birthday card, they'll send me a little thank you note written in their own hand. Now, that mother has taught them to take time to be thankful. And then teach your 12-year-old to begin to open the doors for the girls at school, or instead of just walking in before them and letting the door slam in their face. And then teach the girls how to graciously accept what the boys do for them. That's another problem that we face. I know in my own experience, the boys would say, well, the girls hop out of the car so fast, I can't open the door, Mom. What do I do? Well, you can't do much of anything, really. Those girls need to learn etiquette. Then still work on table manners. There are to serve from the left and remove from the right. And they're to ask for food to be passed instead of leaning over and grabbing a dish and taking half of what's in the bowl. And the courtesy of waiting for all to be served before you start eating. Oh, my goodness. And then a top priority would be to respect your parents. Not talking back. Oh, my goodness, that's so important. And you know what? If the parents allow it, if they don't do anything about it, the children will talk back. So discipline is the word, isn't it? Well, how to be on time for school and on different appointments. Did your children know it's disrespectful to be late for your appointments, like to the dentist or the doctor? Or other places, they need to learn to be on time. And then having definite chores to do and following through and completing them. And what about a child that gets up every morning grumpy and whining and can't find this, can't find that? Having a good attitude needs work, and you can do that. Like, for instance, if they don't have their clothes laid out the night before, whoops, they're in trouble. So, training, training, training. What about children, or young people, I should say, from 13 to 19? Teach your teen to serve and to clean up when eating at a friend's home. Oh, my goodness. Teach them to be slow to criticize and quick to say, I'm sorry. Now, you can rest assured that if you as a parent are not quick to say, I'm sorry, when you do something wrong, your kids are not going to do it either. So, learning together to say, I'm so sorry. Then teach your son to be respectful of girls. Yes, I know that sounds old-fashioned because girls want to be on the same level. Not really. They want to be respected. And you never want to walk in front of a girl, but instead walk beside her or behind her in public places. Yes, that needs to be taught. And then how about the importance of responding RSVP? Oh, my goodness. If you're a leader, you've sent out a lot of invitations with that on it, and no one has replied. Yes, adults need be trained in that also. And then insist that commitments should be kept always, and if not, an explanation of why not. Then being kind to others and willing to serve others. Oh, my goodness, how this is missing today and how we need to get back to all of these niceties and being kind toward one another. Then teach your teenager to see work at home, work that needs to be done, and to get about it and do it rather than just doing your own thing like TV or Nintendo or video game or whatever. Have a to-do list for your teenager and observe other people's feelings. When you see someone who doesn't fit in, help them out by being a friend. Accept them as they are and accept them in right where you are. Then how about learning to be, excuse me, an encourager to others? Well, hopefully by this time your child at age 19 is born again and they're actively serving in the church youth group and practicing some of these niceties, these good manners, these thank yous that are so important today. I think we've forgotten them, don't you? And we need to get back to the old-fashioned ways. So let me close with this admonition from our precious Jesus. 1 Peter 3:8 said, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, and be courteous." How about that? That's what the scriptures teaches us. So if your son or your daughter complains, you can teach them this verse and say that they are really pleasing the Lord when they practice good manners. Well, it's been good to be with you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mabel Louise. I was just thinking about William Wilberforce, and one of the things, along with trying to abolish slavery, that was a big part of his life, was to reintroduce manners into English society. We think of English society as being very thoughtful and, you know, polite and mannerly and so forth, but apparently it always wasn't always that way and probably isn't always that way. But and by manners, I'm seeing much more. Thank you for expanding that, not to just be surface politeness, but it actually it's something that comes from the heart. And prefers others. And so, needed. Thank you so much, Mabel Louise.
Thank you. Bless you, wonderful. Dear ones.
Yes. All right. So it's 11:32. We're going to be checking into some of the forecast details in a couple of moments. We'll keep on going. One other thing I wanted to share, too, with you just now after Mabel Louise shared that was a news story, which I thought was so remarkable and so telling. This is in Racine, Wisconsin. It's in headline news. And teachers at Mitchell Middle School there in Racine say at least 15 school employees have been hurt, physically hurt, by students this year alone. Staff members filing a grievance last month over what they call a chaotic learning environment. And one former teacher says he has back, neck, and shoulder injuries after being assaulted by students several different times. And so just remarkable. The teachers' union, it says here, will meet with district officials next month to discuss the grievance. And the district says it has already made a change in leadership at Mitchell. So, and Mabel Louise, we were talking about this a little bit earlier. Is it just only leadership that maybe needs to be changed here? Or maybe it sounds to me like you're describing something that needs to be changed in our whole society, our young people, our, you know, culture.
Well, right? Whatever extends from the home extends in society.
Okay.
If you're not taught in the home as a child, a young child, to say please and thank you, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. If you're not taught that when you're a little child, then you grow up assuming that you don't have to. And so we have a society that is leaning now with lack of leadership in the home. Yeah. Mother's working, father's working.
Or people, absent fathers and mothers.
Absent fathers, sometimes. Absent mothers.
Yeah.
And all of this boils down. It starts in the home as a family.